I've written the title of the message on the board, Your Destiny. I'd like to ask you a question as we start. Where are you going to end up? You know, we all are headed somewhere. We're all going in a direction, and you always move from young to old. That's just the way life is. You don't go from old back to young, as much as some people like to try these days to hold on to their youth or reverse it. See some advertisements sometimes. You take this and it'll make you 20 years younger. That has an appeal to some people as you get older, but they don't work. Those are all false advertisements because we don't move that way. We move forward. We move from youth to middle age to old age. And we're all headed somewhere. We're going to end up somewhere. And I think it's an important question for us to ask ourselves periodically. It should be something that we keep in our minds as we go about our lives. Where am I going to end up? I'd like to say that we don't always end up where we think we're headed. Sometimes we think we know where we're going. You ever ended up in a place you didn't think you were going? I remember one time I was driving to Guthrie. I was newly married, and it was just me and my wife, and we were driving along, and we weren't thinking about anything but each other. And all of a sudden, I drove into this town, and how did I get here? And I'd missed a turn somewhere down there and ended up going south instead of coming west. And that happens sometimes. And that's not a big thing, but it is a big thing if it involves our lives. When you think about your destiny, I'm not just thinking about where you're going to end up. Destiny is more than just a destination. Although the very term destination or destiny implies that there's a focus, there's a purpose, there was something that I intended to reach, or more than that, someone else intended for me to reach. And I think that's more what I'm interested in tonight is, where is God wanting you to end up? Where is the end for you in His mind? What did He design you to be and to become and to finish up as? It isn't always where we end up. Because there's been a lot of people that took their own way. There's been a lot of people that have decided that they want to do their own thing. And they end up in a different place. And I'd like to dovetail this just a little bit this evening and with the message last night. And let's turn to the book of Mark, the 8th chapter, to begin with. Last night, Brother Carl spoke to us about consecration and being consecrated. And I'd like to begin with that idea, that theme, as we begin this message and desire your prayers. Mark 8 and 34. When he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Now the minister last night encouraged and challenged us that it is our responsibility and it is our part of our agreement and our relationship with our God that we consecrate to Him, that we give up. Consecration is giving up something valuable, something that is important to you. And in the old days, they would bring their gold and their silver and their material possessions, and they would consecrate it to the temple, for instance. And it was designated solely for the purpose of being used in that. It was taking something that meant something to them. It was back in when they offered up their offerings of animals and so forth. They brought their most valuable. They didn't bring the leftovers. They didn't bring the worst of the flock. They brought the best of the flock. So the idea of consecration has always been giving something that is very important, something that has worth and something that has value to it. And so when Jesus comes along and he says, if you would follow me, you're going to have to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. What he is saying is the very most valuable thing that you possess is yourself. It really is the most important thing you have, and sometimes it's all you have. You know, some people don't ever gain a whole lot of material possessions or a lot of riches or fame or all those other things that we call success. But you know, that doesn't mean they're not going to struggle with this idea of consecration. Because what God is really always asking for, and I think Brother Carl mentioned it in his little, remember the old Indian that he said he finally stepped inside the circle himself. That's really what the bottom line of all consecration is giving up yourself. And so Jesus said, that's what you have to do to follow me. Now here is what the challenge is to that, is that in order for me to make the choice and the decision that I am going to consecrate myself to God, or I'm going to give myself, which is the most valuable thing I possess, and I'm going to turn over its purpose, its choices, what I want to do with my life, what I feel like I should be in my life, what I want to see or consider success in my life, I'm going to take that and I'm going to turn it over to someone else and give them the free rein, give them the right to make the choices and make the decisions. And that's what I need to do and what I must do if I'm going to follow Jesus. That's what he said. I have to be assured that that's the thing I should do, that it is a good choice for me to do that. I have to believe that for me to do that is more valuable than taking my own way. I have to believe that it's going to end up in a safer place than if I follow my own destiny, if I follow my own path, my own plans. I have to be assured in my heart that I am certain that if I make this consecration. Now, I know we never know what it means, what it ultimately means when we consecrate. But I have to believe that the person I'm turning my life over to is worthy of that gift. Because it is what I offer, isn't it? He said, I beseech you that you present yourselves. You give yourself up as a gift to God. And at one point, it wasn't worthy of anything. But when Jesus turns it around and gives me a new start and gives me a new life, then I have something of worth to give back to God. He wants it. But he wants it voluntarily. It's not a matter of me coming to you and saying, you've got to do this. It really is a matter of you ought to do this. And you should want to do this because of these reasons. And these reasons is what I would like to talk a little bit about tonight. There's a reason why we ought to come to, when we come to Jesus, that we ought to be willing to deny ourselves and take up our cross. There's a reason for that. It isn't just, I want you to control you. I want to have my way with you. Those are things that God wants. But he has an ultimate purpose in that. He has a design that is far above and much farther reaching than you could ever conceive in your own mind and own heart. I have not seen nor ear heard the things that God hath prepared for us, if we'll just surrender. And yet I find that we struggle with that because it's something that I have to come to grips with day by day. Yes, there is a beginning point in my consecration to God. Once I have recognized who He is and once I've come to the place to where I've been forgiven, then I have something, I have a new life. Then the choice, what do I do with this? What do I want to make out of this? And I'm challenged by my Savior that says, give it to me and I'll make those choices for you. And that's the crux of whether we are successful, as we heard last night, or whether we're not going to be successful. But tonight I'd like to talk about why we should. Why it's very valuable and important for us to. And I'd like to look over into a scripture in the book of Revelations, chapter 7. I'd like for us to get a picture this evening for a little bit of our ultimate destiny Beginning in verse 9, it says, chapter 7 of Revelation, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne and their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. One of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they, came out of great tribulation, have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve Him day and night in His temple. He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." It's real easy for us, when we look out around us tonight at our world that you and I are living in, it's real easy for us to think that this thing is out of course. This thing is out of control. That it's chaos. That things are just falling apart. But I'd like to encourage us here tonight, because it's real easy for the enemy of our soul to take that idea and narrow it down to our sphere, where we are. Things are not they're not stable. They're not in control. They're not going as we think they ought. Things are uncertain. Do I really? Here's the challenge that I find in working and dealing with young people. Is I've got to convince them that this denying yourself and giving your lives, your future, your purpose in life to God instead of following your own way is worth it. That's the challenge. I've got to present to them, you can do this because it is the most wonderful thing that you'll ever do with your life. And show them reasons why that they should do that. Why I should encourage you tonight to not worry about getting rich. Not worrying about making sure you get it stable in this world, because there's a lot of people that will take advantage of you. So make sure you look after number one. Make sure that you've got your retirement in place. Make sure that you've got everything all, you know, to tell you otherwise. I've got to give you evidence and reason why it's a worthwhile cause. And if your perception of the world that I'm going to give my life to is out of course, that it's not stable, that I'm not sure it is worth that, is to put suspicion or to put fear in your minds why you should not follow that direction. So again, tonight, I'd like to reassure you that this is worth giving your life to. It is worth giving yourself to. It is worth choosing to follow Him instead of following your own ways. Because this world is still on course. God is still in charge. Let me read you a scripture in Acts, the 17th chapter. And I know that was 2,000 years ago, but it still applies today. Verse 25. 26. He was speaking, Paul here, speaking to the those in Athens that were worshiping an unknown God. In verse 24, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is the Lord, is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they may feel after Him and might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of them, us. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of our own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. I want to tell us tonight that that God that was Paul was relating to those in Greece at that time that didn't know who they were worshiping, and he was identifying a God that was in charge, that has always had the times and had this world in His hands to do with what He wanted to. That God is still in charge tonight. He still is leading His people. He still is guiding their lives. He still will take every individual and allow their lives to unfold. He has a plan, a destiny for each one of you. It has fulfillment in it. It has purpose in it. It has design in it. It will be complete. And at the end of it, the picture that we saw of all nations, kindreds, people, a number that no man can number, that was standing there at the throne worshiping God, those people, we can be part of that. That people is, there is a part of them over there now, but there's going to come a time that there is every person that has decided to deny himself and follow Jesus. Yes, they went through great tribulation. And they gave blood, they suffered, but they ended up there at that throne, and their destiny was complete. Your destiny can also be complete, and it can be assured. It can be certain. You don't, in spite of all the uncertainties that you and I are surrounded by tonight, your life can be sure. It can be certain. You don't have to fear going to God and say, Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated to you, because I know your plans. They're good thoughts about me, not bad. You're going to bring me to that complete end, that destiny that you desired for me, if I'll just surrender. The reason why people don't end up where they think they were going is because they do not give God the privilege to make the choices that He wants to make in their life. And I would challenge us tonight, because this, as Brother Carl mentioned last night, consecration, yeah, it is an initial thing, but it is a daily thing that you and I deal with too. We are constantly battling ourselves, the choices that we have to make. We constantly have the flesh that you and I have to come to grips with and say, no, you cannot do this. I'm going to go His way. That's something that we will continue to battle. But ultimately, if we will do that, it will lead us in the right direction. And it'll cause us to end up above, beyond what we could have ever asked or thought, and beyond our imagination. But we have to believe that God has that in mind, that God is in charge. Now, I'd like to give us a little bit of evidence. I'd like to turn to the book of Matthew in chapter 2. Beginning in the verse 1, this is a story of Jesus when He was born. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east of Jerusalem, saying, where is He that is born, King of the Jews? For we've seen His star in the east, and are come to worship Him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Now, this story of Jesus, we're all familiar with it, but I want to point out some unique things again for us to remember. This was an astounding thing. These wise men that were from far off came to Herod and asked him where the king was. And of course, Herod was a king. Why would you ask the king where the king was born? Supposedly, it should be Jerusalem. Herod didn't know anything about this. But these wise men did. And these wise men had been given information from God. He sent them to Bethlehem. Go search diligently. No, let me back up. When He had gathered all the chief priests and scribes, verse 4, of the people together, He demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto Him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet. I want to tell us this evening that there is a record. There's a history behind God. It is not something that's just, I know we're being attacked today by whether it's true or not. Whether this whole idea of God, we're bombarded all the way around. Brother Gordon said something this afternoon about he didn't know if there were any atheists or not. I'll tell you, Brother Gordon, there are. There's a lot of people in this world today that do not believe there's any such thing as God. And I know that they'll get awakened one day when they stand before God. That'll all come back around. But at this point, there are a lot of people today that deny everything about God. They don't believe in God. They deny His existence. They deny His principles and so forth. And we're surrounded by that kind of atmosphere today. And yet, the truth is, the evidences of God are very sure. This story here, there's about four prophecies that are fulfilled just in this chapter where where's Jesus the Christ supposed to be born? Now, why would the king ask that? Why would Herod say, tell me where he's supposed to be born? It was because he knew that there was a record. God has a record. Looking back, and I know you and I, we have a short-term history. We know of people that have chosen to give their lives to God. And we've watched them. Some of them have suffered. But we've also seen God do miraculous things with their lives. I have my own dad as an example. A man and my mom and dad that both, you know, came from so far back in the hills you wouldn't imagine. Came from poverty, came from ignorance. My dad went to the first day of the sixth grade. And the fact is, if God had not have got a hold of their hearts, I just thought recently, Sister Helen Underdown passed away. And I dropped a note to her son, who used to be one of my good friends. I haven't seen him in years and years and years. And I said, when I heard your mom died, I just had to stop and think. That woman was the reason why I am where I am today. She was a next door neighbor to my mom and dad. She was Brother McCoy's daughter. And she invited her to a Bible study one day. And because of that, my mom and dad went to church. My mom and dad got saved. My mom and dad escaped their poverty and escaped their early ignorant upbringings. And God did something with their life that they would have never possibly have done themselves. You think that was happenstance? That was God's destiny, guiding them and directing them in their lives. And the fact is, you say, well, He doesn't do that to everybody. He does it with everybody that says, I will deny myself and take up my cross and follow Jesus. Because He has a plan for us. He has a purpose for our lives. And if we'll just let Him have right away, He'll take it and begin to move it. That's short-term history. But you can go back farther and farther. You can read in this account, oh, it's going to be in Bethlehem. So the wise men went to Bethlehem. They found Jesus. But right in the middle of that, they also got a dream. It said, don't go back. Herod's wanting to kill this king. And so he was warned. Joseph was warned. It got down to the end there in the last part of this chapter. He said in 22nd verse, when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea after Herod had died, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream. He turned aside into parts of Galilee and came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. You know, when you look at how God weaved this thread in Jesus' life, but in other lives, Brother Leslie this morning just gave us scripture after scripture of prophetic mentionings of Christ in the Old Testament, a book written thousands of years before Christ, men that never had any personal direct contact with Jesus, but they knew God. And God, He guided their writings. And it ended. So we have a history. We have a something that is sure. You don't have to question. You don't have to question God. Does He really exist? I know we're bombarded by that sometimes because of the now and the immediate. And I'll speak of that in a minute. But if you look back, God has a history that is definite and clear. And you can trust it. You can trust it. I know they're trying to rewrite history today. But it's a very simple thing. You look, just look, I'm thinking this evening about, talking with some others about just 40, 50 years ago when, and the devil's done it before then, but he really started bombarding what we call marriage as a simple, basic foundation of humanity. And it, you know, they're debating whether, you know, all the debates going on today. But the fact is, marriage was not created by man. Marriage was created by God. It was His plan. So you really, no matter what man tries to do with it, it's not going to change the truth. And the truth has been that every society, every culture that has begun to mess with God's plan concerning it, starts falling apart and starts having chaos and eventually crumbles. So you and I are observing the results of man's departing from God's will and God's plan, what God has always designed from the very beginning. So we have a history of that too, don't we? You can look back and see where if you follow God, He will lead you in the right directions. Yes, you will have to deny yourself. And that's today. That's the immediate. And that's hard. And that's difficult sometimes. But if you'll think about it, there's a purpose and a reason for it, because God has a set design and plan that has been in place for years and years and years. And if you avoid that issue, then you're not being honest with yourself. Also, not only has God, but God will. This is speaking of future. We call it doctrine. What is doctrine? Doctrine is the will of God that is set for us based upon His teachings, and it's to project into the future. It's to give us a guideline. It's to give us a structure to follow, to be a part of, because if I follow these guidelines, it will lead me in this right direction. If you go north, you're going to end up in a northern state. If you go south, it's not going to happen different than that. You know, this whole idea of, and I'm not trying to be political at all, but this whole idea of global warming and we're destroying our earth and our atmosphere, and I know that we can contaminate and all that, but the truth is, God set this in place by His Word, and it's not going to crumble until His Word stops it. That's a truth. And so we can base our lives on that. Does that mean you just be foolish about your environment? No. You take care of it. You're a good citizen, and you do things that are healthy and all those sorts of things. But to fear that this thing is going to fall apart, there's no value or no benefit to that or no need for that. Because God has a purpose. God has already designed, He's created a design or a pattern to follow that if you'll follow it, it will lead you where you need to go, and ultimately you will find your destiny. And ultimately it'll lead you to that place that I read about in Revelations. You'll be one of those number that no man can number. One of the different kindreds and kins and peoples of all nationalities and all places. This family, this church, this people of God is so much bigger than what you and I can imagine. The devil narrows it down and gets us to where we feel like there's nobody left and nobody. But God told Elijah, I have 7,000 prophets, was it? That have not denied my name. And he still has many, many people We don't come in contact with them sometimes. But you just think how narrow your life is. I mean, there's 350 plus million people in this country. And there's what? Six, eight, I forget how many billion people in this world. Our little sphere is a couple thousand maybe. Yeah. But in that broad spectrum, God has people scattered all throughout that love God and that are still choosing to deny themselves and take up their cross and follow Him. And He is leading them through the pitfalls of life that they face. So you and I, if you will, first of all, recognize that the past proves God and that the future is trustworthy. The past has been, and the future is designated. It's set. God will. He promised. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging bread. God has never, never, never let one of His people down. And so you're not going to be the first exception. So you don't have to be afraid to consecrate your life to the Lord. You don't have to be afraid to say, what if I do this? Then what's the... God will fill it with more than you can imagine if you'll give, let Him have His way and let Him lead you. Now, the difficult part of this whole little message tonight is this part here. God is. Now, it's easy to read history and look back. And it's safe and it feels good to have a plan. It's not safe to live in this life without a plan. It's not safe just to wake up every morning and say, well, I'll see how it works today. We've got to have some goals. We've got to have some purposes. We have to have an understanding. With wisdom, we can follow the right way. Where is wisdom? This book's full of it. Why do we encourage each other and our children to become engrossed in this book? It's because it is the future plan. It will direct us in the right paths. It will help us make the right decisions. But you know what we really... I was thinking about how people make choices. And I was talking with someone about the upcoming election. And I said, you know, people will make their choice based upon how things are going right now. A lot of times people, if they've got two cars in the garage and they've got money in their pocket, they feel comfortable and safe and that's where they want to keep it. It's only when it's challenged, or only when they feel like their security is threatened that they get a little upset and start worried and get fearful. Well, you know, that's the way a lot of people live their lives. No real plans. It's just what I'm going to decide today. And that's a dangerous way to live. And also, it's very dangerous for us to live without the presence of God in our lives. Because that's our safety net today. See, when we have to make that immediate decision, that choice, we're faced with that temptation, or we're struggling with what do I do next, or I'm a young person and I'm getting ready to make choices in my life. Do I go to college? Do I pursue this career? Or do I... where do I go? What direction do I take? You know, it's valuable to look back. And it's very helpful to be able to look forward and say, this is the pattern. So I can make choices and decisions. I remember teaching the young people, you don't need to even think about a career that you recognize. If I decide to really, people that are raised this way, I think in the back of their minds, at least for a time period anyway, think that's really the way I want to live my life. Or, that's the way I've got to live my life if I'm going to go to heaven. They lose that eventually. And so whenever they're thinking about what am I going to do with my life? What kind of job am I going to have? Well, you know, those things are enticing out there. But I remember, you know, I didn't wear a tie. And there were lots of things I wanted to be. And I remember that was a time period. It was before everybody went to college and I wanted to go real bad. And I had scholarships to go. And my mom and dad were pulling me back. And they weren't saying no. They were just saying, hold off, hold off, hold off. They were afraid because they knew the pattern of people getting out there, getting professions, getting out there with their jobs, high-powered jobs, and losing their souls or losing their interest in what they've been taught. And I remember my dad told his boss when he quit his job to go out in full-time ministry because the boss said, hey, your boys need to get, you need to have money to take, let them go to college and all that. And my dad told him at that time, he said, I'd rather my boys dig ditches the rest of their life and be saved than to be the president of the United States. That's what he told him. And I used to listen to that, and I wasn't real impressed of the idea of digging ditches all my life. But neither did I expect to be the president of the United States. But as I begin to choose, I have to admit, I knew what the level of consecration was if I really wanted to serve God. If I came to the place where I really wanted to deny myself and take up my cross and follow the Lord. And so, I was afraid to make choices too far out there that I would have to try to come back. Because more often than not, they never come back. Well, those choices are tough choices. And some of you tonight are probably right in that space right now, ready to make those kinds of choices. And I know that we're challenging you to deny yourself. We're challenging you to be willing to say, I'm going to follow the Lord no matter what. And you're asking yourself, and the devil is throwing it in your face, is it really worth that? Is that really something you want to devote your life to? Will that really give you fulfillment? Is that really going to be what you really want your destiny to be? And that's a tough place to be. And that's why it's so critical tonight that you have the Lord in your life that can talk to you and that can impress and deal with that conscience and say, follow me. As I think it was Brother Carl last night, my son, give me your heart. Follow me and I will give you a destiny beyond your comprehension. It's still out there. You can give your life to God and it can be very exciting. It can be a wonderful life. It can be fulfilling. But the bottom line of this goes back to Revelation 7. You can be part of that great number who overcome by the blood of the Lamb, went through great tribulation, but they're standing before the throne of God tonight, worshiping, giving honor to the God of heaven. Is the God of heaven worth that kind of honor and worship? Sure He is. You know, self-denial is a form of worship. It's really the ultimate form of worship, to deny yourself. It's to say, God, I respect who You are. What is man that God would acknowledge us? He made us lower than the angels. You know that God has a pecking order in His great design, creation? And you know we're not equal with God? God, you know what today's responsibility? It goes back to what Brother Gordon talked to us about this afternoon. What God is looking for is faith. God is not wanting to be tested. God's wanting to be trusted. God wants us to step beyond this testing state. Is God really God? Is He God? Is He God? That's what the devil wants us to do, is constantly bounce that back and forth off of our minds. You know, can I really choose? What God is asking of us is that we begin to trust Him, that He will lead us. He will take us to the places that we should go. Not where we think we ought to go, maybe, but where we should go. They will ultimately be the places that we wanted to go. Because we'll look back at our history and say, surely God has led us. Surely God has directed our lives. Surely God has protected us from. I look back on that whole scene that I mentioned earlier, and I know there's a lot of people here that went on and has gone to college, and I'm not against that. if you use that right. And I know it's a different world that we live in than it was 40, 50 years ago. But I had lots of friends that decided to go to college. I know one particular, one of my best friends, very smart guy, got full scholarships, and within 2 years he was burnt out on drugs and his mind was gone. And over again, that kind of scenario took place. So, what did God spare me from? And what will God spare you from if you follow Him instead of taking your own way? You don't know. You have no idea what God is going, not only to protect you from, but what He's going to give you in your life. How valuable is looking back and being able to say, I've been married 40 years. I was standing in line getting lunch the other day with some of the guys in where I work, and said something about, they were saying something about marriage, and they asked me something about, somebody had made a comment, and I said, yeah, I just had my 40th anniversary this past. 40? I said, yeah, I've been married 40 years. Well, you must have got married when you were young. I said, yeah, 19. And I've been married almost all my life. It's beyond their comprehension. But how valuable is it? How valuable is it for us to be able, for our children, our grandchildren, to have the security of knowing that grandpa and grandma or mom and dad are there and going to be there? That's a very valuable, precious thing. It's almost an extinct commodity in our world today. And yet that's what God offers. That's what God promises us. God promises no matter what. You know, we get all fearful about, you know, our economy is bad and what if I lose my job and all those sorts of things. Those are all scary things that deal with the present. And those present problems and troubles and distresses have a way of affecting us a whole lot more than the past and the future does sometimes. But we can be assured that God is not going to let us down. That God's going to stand by us because He has proven Himself. Taste and see, as we heard this afternoon, that the Lord is good. He will do those things. So, back to the first question. Where are you headed? Where are you going to end up? Are those two things the same? Are you going to end up where you think you're headed? Or do you know where you're headed? If you're not following God's plan tonight, you really don't know where you're headed. If you're not following God's plan for your life, your marriage is in danger. I'll just tell you that. It's true. Statistics, history shows is your marriage is in jeopardy if you're not following God's plan and design. Your children are headed for trouble in many, many, many cases. If you're not following God's design and plan. If we don't follow God's design and plan, then we are going to be subject to the whims of the enemy of our soul that has other plans. He has another destiny in mind for you. And it's the other side of this whole picture. And I think we're all familiar with that. And I don't think any of us in our right minds would even desire to think about going there. But that's where you'll end up if you don't have a plan. If you aren't following God's plan, that's the only other result. Is that where you're headed? It's ultimately on your shoulders tonight. It is our responsibility as leaders, as parents, as brothers for each other, to help each other. But ultimately, I can't make that choice for you, and you can't make that choice for me. I cannot determine your destiny, no more than you can determine mine. But God wants to determine it. He wants you to follow what He had in mind for you from the very beginning, while you were yet in your mother's womb. When He gave you a name, when He gave you something, that a special place, and His entire intellect and mind and kingdom, He had a destiny for you? Are you fulfilling it? Are you there? Are you headed in that place? If not, I would challenge you tonight to come after Jesus. Deny yourself and take up your cross.